All right, we got Craig in the house, which means hopefully we're recording. Welcome, friends, to another episode of the QS Insider Cast. My name's Joe. You might know me as MTG Joe D on the internet. And today I'm joined by my host, the loquacious Crowberry.
Loquacious, like loquacious champion?
I mean, it means talkative. I don't know. It just sounded like a good adjective. I have a list of adjectives up now.
Actually, it's loquatus is it's how you're supposed to say that. I've always said it that way, even though it's definitely not right, because it's like aquatic, like merfolk. I don't know. Anyway, how's it going, everyone? I'm Crowberry.
All right. Podcast derailed already.
We're off to a good start, ladies.
We're going to start looking up how to say words. Anyway, more things have happened in Magic the Gathering this last week than the last time we did a cast. So we've got some exciting things to talk about. We're going to look at some Standard, maybe some Commander Legends stuff, talk about Secret Lairs, talk about Fetch Lands. But let's start with Standard. Not much has changed, but the meta is starting to shuffle a little bit. I think the most exciting thing we're seeing is this new Obosh Teemer Ramp deck. It's the new hotness, right? It's all over Twitter.
It's got the Obosh, the Prey Piercer, as the commander, or companion, I should say.
I mean, similar. It's like a commander for Standard.
It's not Brawl. Mander. No, that is Brawl, for sure.
It's a pretty cool deck. It's really similar to a lot of the adventures lists we've seen in the past. You know, it's got playset of Brazen Borrowers, it's got Bonecrusher Giants, Edgewall Innkeepers. But we're seeing Genesis Ultimatum getting played again, which is interesting. That kind of fell out of favor for a while. So that's a big one to be looking at if this stays super popular. And Terror of the Peaks. We've been seeing a lot of Terror of the Peaks in Arena from this deck.
Yeah, it's definitely making a bit of a resurgence here. Kind of a, I would say, underplayed card for sure. Over the past little while here, but now we're seeing it pop up in this list at the top of the metagame.
It's a crazy card. I just kind of forgot about it after Core 21. You know, I was like, okay, Mythic Dragon, whatever. Since when has a Mythic Dragon been good, right? It blows me out every time. That might just be the kind of decks I play, but if someone drops a Terror of the Peaks, I'm probably going to lose.
I mean, yeah, if you're not packing like actual factual board wipes, then having to target this to take it off the table is pretty poor, and it's already getting that 2-for-1 as is, if not worse. And also the fact that you're just putting that in a deck that has like 2-for-1 after 2-for-1, or sometimes more if they have an Edgewall Innkeeper on the table, it is just brutal to play against.
You're just drawing cards left and right, bouncing people with your stupid Brazen Borrowers, your Beanstalk Giant Ramp. Actual factual board wipes. The Crowberry story. That's the name of your upcoming autobiography, right?
For the decks I like to play, definitely. although there's not really a big home for that at the moment. You know, you've got the couple control decks that are seeing play right now, which, you know, they have like Extinction Event. Those are a little conditional, so not my favorite board wipes, but for sure what I'd probably be playing in Standard right now. If I were playing Standard.
Right. You're playing Historic mostly, right? When you jam Arena? You playing some Historic on your stream the other night?
That is my home right now. I love playing Mono Black Aggro and any variant of control, usually Bant.
I gotta be the foil to you, you know? Like, you're the blue mage, I'm the red mage, it all works out. Speaking of a different kind of mage, Mono Green Food is also popping off again, it looks like, in the meta. We've been seeing a lot of it on Arena, Magic Online. It's been falling in and out of favor a lot as Standard ebbs and flows these past couple of months. But it's a cool deck. It's playing the Tangled Florahedron in a lot of the lists now, that really cool elemental modal land. I just picked up foils of that last month because it's gorgeous art, but also apparently pretty useful. You know, Feasting Troll King is pretty hard to beat if you're dropping a couple Troll Kings and the Kogla, the Titan Ape. So, you know, and we talked about the Great Henge the other week, being one of those great mythic cards from Eldraine. So that helps that deck a lot.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's pretty telling that, like, all these food mechanic cards are coming back into standard when we have sort of the power level nerfed of a lot of the more recent cards. You know, even though Oko itself is banned, still a lot of these food cards are very powerful in standard.
It is interesting, too. We're creeping up ever closer on food just, like, rotating. And then all of a sudden it's having this nice little resurgence. I mean, we're not that close, I guess, right? But getting there.
Yeah, I mean, just the total power level of all the cards in Throne of Eldraine is just so high. I think a lot of us were under the impression that, you know, in most standards at least, you know, it's never really one set that dominates the entire standard. As long as it's legal, that's been pretty rare. We have had cases of it, like such as Kaladesh, Battle for Zendikar. Right. Those have been pretty dominant, like, sets across standard. But I don't think we've seen something like this since then, and that was about 2014, 2015. But yeah, it's just absolutely disgusting how many Throne of Eldraine cards just make their own deck.
That's wild. What a set. That was a set. I was really, like, stoked on that set flavor-wise. I thought it was really cool, like, the, you know, the whole set dressing.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't playing a ton back then at the time. Just, you know, too busy with work and stuff. So I was like, ooh, yeah, cool, Fairy Tail set. And just didn't look at or predict or anticipate how wild that was actually going to end up being.
Yeah, I think we're going to see box prices of this stay high, especially for the fact that you can get showcase cards in them and stuff of that nature. The collector's boosters are going to be interesting for this as well.
You know, if they never ban Oko and Legacy. Yeah.
Yeah, I see that as a card they're not going to easily reprint anytime soon. So the longer that stays legal, the worse it's going to get, or the higher the price of that card's going to get eventually.
And the worst I feel like there's a shaky piece.
I feel like there's a shaky piece on that card being legal in Eternal formats and the you know, eventual price boom or upward movement, I should say. Probably not boom, but slowly over time it will go up.
Yeah, I mean, especially if, like, we've been talking about you know, when Paper Magic comes back, if there's any big Legacy events, I could definitely see it going up. I actually got to play against it the other day. I had a friend come over. We masked up. We sat at a big table, like, kind of far away from each other. We were safe. We had fans going and the whole thing. But he had several Oko decks. And that, oof. Anyway, oof.
Yeah, it is a pain to play against. And I know, you know, Eternal formats, they have higher power level and a lot more answers to something like Oko. But they are, Oko is still very oppressive, in my opinion.
I'm not a huge fan. So much so that wasn't even on the docket to talk about. And I found a way to bring
it's
up. Just,
it's always there. It's always in the back of our minds.
Ban Oko.
You know, in terms of things that hang over Magic right now, the pandemic, which hangs over us all, and the presence of Oko in Eternal formats.
You know, you could say Oko. That's probably not a.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Joke.
I was gonna anyway,
compare Oko to a yeah. I cut that in post, huh? speaking of Eternal formats, what about that Commander Legends? You know? What's the deal with Commander Legends?
Now we're going to go into the Seinfeld comparison.
Oh, man. Anyway, Jeweled Lotus is dropping. Just like
yeah,
we said.
Yeah, for sure. I think the supply choke on the initial round of Commander Legends is really preventing that from going to where I think its natural resting price is at $30-$40. We're seeing it sit at $70 right now. Last time I checked. I think it's only a matter of time before that goes down again. I mean, I reasonably expect that they'll just print this set into the ground as long as people are willing to buy it. And given the current situation with Magic, multiplayer Magic is the way to go. And opening packs of this just feels good if that's your flavor of Magic.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a chance to open any yet. It's bumming me out. I definitely want to pick up a box to sit on to draft. I know a buddy from my Discord that we hang out with. He's sitting on one. He's sitting on one. He's ready for when the pandemic's over and we can all go draft it. I'm really looking forward to that because it's a fun set. And I think if they keep printing it, people will keep buying it.
I mean, yeah, it's just got all-star after all-star. It's got all your favorite commanders. The CEDH folks are, if they're looking to pimp out their decks, it's got all the cards that they want, or most of them, that are reprintable.
Oh, man. Yeah, I got to see those Etched Foils in person, finally. I don't know if you've gotten to hold one yet, but the guy I was playing Legacy with had a couple in his commander deck, and they're cool. They look nice. I was worried. I said a couple casts ago, I was like, I don't know what that's going to look like. But they're pretty neat.
Yeah, the fact that they also lie flat is a pretty big step up for the foiling process on a card like that. Just yesterday, I was at my local game store looking at, singles in the case, as you want to do when you're in a local game store.
Oh, of course.
I'm definitely not frequenting my local game store in a time like this. But I was able to stop in, masked up, of course, and I took a peek at the case and got a few singles. But just seeing how, pringled, if that's a word, stuff from like Double Masters is, or even just as recent as Zendikar Rising for some of these showcase cards, they are horrible in terms of lying flat. And it's a really good sign that they took the time to iron that out for these.
Yeah. Gonna build up that faith again, from people who were buying these to sit on.
And also, it's a very specific treatment on foils as well. We probably won't see that again for a while until a similar set comes out. But who knows if they learn some lessons and if it's, in their interest and profitability to do a similar process on foils going forward. I really hope they take the time to do that because having flat foils is really nice.
Yeah, I might even start buying foils again if that continues. Cue flashback to getting a game loss for good old foils.
They'll haunt you forever.
The whoosh. I was so close to that top eight, Crowberry. I could taste it.
But the funny thing, too, actually, about those being the particular cards that are lying flat in foil, those are the cards you typically do not shuffle back into your deck. There are some instances where you are tucking those back.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, but it's funny that the card that really doesn't go in your deck that often, assuming you're using them as your commander. Some legendaries are, not always in that commander slot. But still, I find it a little funny that's the thing they sought to flatten first.
Well, gotta start somewhere, I guess.
Yeah.
Have you been seeing, I know you've been kind of keeping an eye on it. We've been seeing much Commander Legend stuff in Legacy. When I was doing a look, it kind of felt like not much more than what you talked about.
Yeah, the big card that I was keeping an eye on is Hole Breacher. I feel like a lot of people are testing it out and seeing where it is most applicable. At first glance, it's a Merfolk card, so that deck's going to profit off that. But Merfolk isn't really a huge force in Legacy right now. It's always on that fringe playable tier 2 sort of place in the metagame. Like there's always a Merfolk diehard. You will see it in your local meta, no matter what. People are trying to innovate the deck. But I think a lot of people are wanting to try it out in places like Snowco.
Miracles.
Miracles also is the one where I've seen it. I feel like Commander Legends isn't quite having the impact that we thought it would a couple weeks ago. There are a lot of exciting cards. Opposition Agent was the other big one that we were looking at. But not a huge metagame shift from this set as it looks right now. Time will tell, and Legacy evolves slowly.
It sure does, yeah.
Typically, like, we have seen instances where, like, when the Eldrazi came out, that made a brand new deck that took the metagame by storm. When we had a Battle for Zendikar block come into the game. But yeah, we are not seeing that here, definitely. I think all the changes with those cards are going to be pretty iterative and slow.
Yeah, for sure. Like, as is the way. It is the way. So I was just reading this Miracles list that was running the whole Breachers, and I got lost in it. Weird list. Cool list.
Yeah, that's not a typical home for you in Legacy.
No, I know. I'm normally just like slamming goblins against it and not worrying. I've always managed to play the deck that beats Crowberry's deck. When we play Magic, it's always been the thing. Much to your chagrin, I think.
Yeah, that's just how it has to be. We're sort of like a Ash and Gary Oak kind of thing. Or am I the Gary Oak? Are you the Ash in this story?
Yeah. I'll be the hero.
Oh, okay. So. I'm the villain. Gotcha.
Yeah. Next week I'll be Gary. Speaking of different properties. Oh, that transition doesn't work.
I mean, it sort of does, because we're about to talk about Secret Lair. which has some interesting things in it this go-around. We just got a huge drop of, what is it, 5 different Secret Lairs? Holy moly.
Secretversary 2020.
Yeah.
And they're doing a couple of different versions of the drop. Like, it's one of those drops where there's a 5 of them that you can get in a bundle. But you've got the super drop with no foils, no nonsense, for $100. You can get the Foils Forever bundle for about 140, and then you can get the Bundle. They had fun naming these, you can tell, for like 230, which, you know, pretty good deal if you're into the Secret Lairs. Yep. And there's some fun ones, I think. Yep,
these are dropping in 19 hours from now on all of these, so.
Ooh, yeah, 19 hours, 36 minutes, 49 seconds, 48 seconds. Well, no, I'm not going to do that.
Keep counting. It'll make the timer move faster.
I don't know. I'm probably not going to pick any of these up. They're dropping at a time for me where the extra Secret Lair investment money is not there. But I think they're pretty sweet. One in particular that we've seen a lot of people that we know going on about is that the Happy Little Gathering bundle. The Bob Ross lands. I didn't think that was a real thing. I've seen people on Twitter like joking about when Secret Lair Bob Ross going to happen. I'd buy that. And it's happening.
Yeah, I think that was definitely a rumor mill kind of thing that just came to be. So maybe, you know, we should lean on the rumors a little, slightly little more lean. But yeah, I think the fact that this exists at all is just insane. Huge crossover property. I mean, we are coming back off the Walking Dead Secret Lair not too long ago. So I guess we should expect anything at this point. We've had Godzilla cards in Magic. So why not a Bob Ross set of basic lands?
And they're cool too, man. Like, I'm a big Bob Ross fan. You know, I've plenty of times put on Bob Ross at night to, you know, kind of try to lull myself to sleep. I watched him as a kid all the time on PBS. And these are gorgeous basics. I was doing the math, like, how do I get all the Bob Ross mountains for my mono red decks? And then I stopped doing the math, because that's a lot of money. It probably won't happen. But, like, dude, gorgeous basics. I'm not normally one to, like, freak out over basics either. I guess it's just because I'm a Bob Ross fanboy. But it's cool. You can get them in regular and in foil, you know, at the $30 and $40 marks, which is pretty typical for these Secret Lairs. And you get the lands in Arena. Oh, shoot.
That is a big up. If you're picking up one of these in Arena, definitely you get to play with your whole set. It just gives you all the lands you want. Unlimited. In paper, I'm still, if you're wanting to play with them at least, you definitely want to get those non-foils. Secret Lairs have not been improved in quality ever. Yeah. And I don't think these will be any different. The foiling process is probably going to be about the same as we've seen before.
I would imagine. Now I'm plotting, though. We have a couple friends who don't even play Arena who are picking out the Bob Ross lands just because they like Bob Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you I could get that Arena code.
Yeah, you might be able to snag that one. And these, you know, we've got four other ones to talk about, but just a quick note. These are happening at an excellent time for holiday buying. I think they're a little late to the snap running these on Cyber Monday sales. I think they probably should have dropped these on Friday, Black Friday proper.
I'm not sure why
they didn't do that. Because you're competing with so many other like big gifts for sure. Like, you know, people are clamoring over the PS5, the Xbox Series X. those are the big ticket items. And these come in at a smaller price point for sure at $30 and $40. So I think they'll still sell really well, but I find it sort of a misstep to not like put them at the start of the weekend. I feel like that's strange.
That is strange. I didn't even think about that. But good point. Like, they make nice little stocking stuffers, or nice little gifts. You know, if any of y'all are shopping for me, feel free. Just kidding. Just feel free to pick up a Happy Little Gathering in non-foil for my stocking. I'll give you the P.O. box if you want. just kidding.
But yeah, you're on about the Bob Ross Secret Lair drop. I'm on about the Party Hard Shred Harder Secret Lair that has metal inspired
cool
art. I'm a big metal fan myself, and I, you know, I think the aesthetic for the most part is pretty cheesy and, you know, silly. But these are absolutely awesome. We have five cards from artists that actually do posters, like show posters for bands like Mastodon, Metallica, I think was another one. Robbie Trevino, the one that I'm noting here, he did the art for the Showcase Triomes out of Ikoria. He's got a card in here. I think it's the Thraxamundar, if I'm not mistaken. These are just absolutely excellent art. Definitely the biggest culprit of not looking like a Magic card for sure. They do look like show posters.
It's album insane art. Yeah, it's definitely the like the farthest away from a Magic card I think we've ever been.
Yeah,
design wise. And honestly, like, I know I'm talking up the Bob Ross, but if I do pick up just one single Secret Lair from this drop, it's gonna be this set. It's so unique. It's so cool. Like Assassin's Trophy, Dreadbore, Decimate, Anguished Unmaking. I think they're missing out on making all of these t-shirts. They did partner with someone to make the Thraxamundar into a shirt, but like, I think the Anguished Unmaking would have made a cooler shirt, honestly.
That one's pretty sweet. My favorite one in here is Assassin's Trophy. I absolutely love that art. By Scott Boncristiano. I think this is probably my favorite in the, if I'm not mistaken, it's probably going to be the most expensive card out of this one.
It's Thraxamundar
is like, Thraxamundar is like, you know, it's a commander. It's the only legendary in the set here. And the rest of these are, you know, removal spells, which, you know, very metal themed. I think Assassin's Trophy is going to come out of the gate here as the most expensive one, just in terms of gameplay ability. And I'm definitely looking to pick these up in non-foil. Are these only in non-foil?
Yeah, there's two different drops from here that are slightly bucking the trend. This is one of them. Party Hard, Shred Harder, no foils, and no Arena tie-in. But you do get a copy of one of each for Magic Online, if you so choose, if you buy this one.
Oh, it only gives you one card as opposed to a playset.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it's always been with the,
gotcha,
the layers. Which, kind of annoying if you want your cards to match. But I think it's an interesting choice to have no foils of this. I wonder if it just would have been too much.
background and foiling.
To try to foil.
You know, I'm no expert on the foiling process of cards other than the hands. But I would imagine these being pretty tough. That'll have the same process here, which, or you know, not some they're not, that we've ever seen. I can remember some pretty brutal foiling. But yeah, these are probably be pretty tough to foil.
Most brutal secret airdrop of all. All time. That hints that we'll have more artist series down the line, which is exciting. But these Seb McKinnon cards are sweet. This is one that comes in foil and non-foil, the 30-40 split there. And it's got Damnation, Enchanted Evening, Sower of Temptation, and a Full Art Swamp. And they are cool looking.
Yeah, it's definitely some sweet world building in one secret layer. You know, we haven't seen these arts anywhere else, I'm fairly certain. I think these are all brand new for this drop.
Yeah, these are all new from what I understand. And also, the rumor I heard, I haven't found any proof or the source, but apparently Wizards just let Seb choose the cards he wanted to draw for this.
Yeah, that's
someone
is
told me on Discord the other day. And man, that Damnation art, I need a print of that. That is wild.
Yeah, I mean, just at first glance, for this one, that's definitely going to be the most expensive card. It's been a while since we've had a Damnation reprint. Proper, I think it was Modern Master 17, if I'm remembering right.
Around there, if not. Sounds close. I guess I'm sitting in a computer. I could just Google it and fact check you. But
yeah, that's what I'm doing here. I think I'm right about that. Yeah, Modern Master 17. So it's been a hot minute since we've had a reprint of Damnation. We've complained about accessibility issues for, you know, the Walking Dead secret lair in particular for those kinds of cards. I think this will be a nice reprint having the two versions that gives you a playable version that by itself is cheaper than an MM17 Damnation if you get the non foil.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty good pickup. Just based on the Damnation alone. Interesting add-ons is you get both an Arena Redemption and a Magic Online Redemption. The Arena Redemption is for Artist Series Seb McKinnon themed Exquisite Sleeve, but which may be available for separate purchase later in MTG Arena. They're starting to put that caveat there, which I think is interesting. And then, of course, the Magic Online Redemption is you get one of each.
Yeah, I mean, we can't say enough good things about Seb McKinnon's art here. I think you and I are both pretty big fans of it, as are most Magic players.
Yeah.
I think ever since War of the Spark, Seb McKinnon has just been knocking it out of the park on every single card that features his art. So it's definitely one to be picking up. And I think he's cemented himself as one of the best Magic artists in Magic history, like, period.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely up there with the greats at this point.
I'm like hyping it up too much, but I think Seb might be one of the like best artists of our time.
Yeah.
Like he's not just doing Magic art. He has like all sorts of crazy projects he's working on all the time.
Yeah. Definitely a subjective, you know, thing.
Art is
talking
subjective,
for sure,
yeah.
But
speaking of things that are subjective, how about that We Hope You Like Squirrels draw?
Oh, all right. That is an interesting one. I feel like out of all the ones we've covered so far, this is probably the least attractive. We've had a couple of these cards pop off a little bit, Swarm Yard in particular, for people wanting to build those sort of weird tribal decks.
I love the art for Swarm Yard. Holy cow. on this new one. This is the one, too. Interestingly enough, this is only available in foil. Like, I guess Wizards was just like, only casual players like Squirtles. We're only going to give them the foils. But yeah, you got the Swarm Yard, Chatter of the Squirrel, Crows and Beast, Squirrel Mob, Squirrel Wrangler, foil squirrel token.
Yeah, I mean, these are definitely going to be cards that are, you know, you're not going to be upset that they're, you know, not coming in the non-foil. You want the foil version of these for your commander deck. That's their natural home, you know, or casual decks for sure. But yeah, the fact that, you know, a secret lair is one of each, you know, it's going to be a very commander specific targeted product, I believe.
I mean, so we have a buddy, a mutual friend, Crowberry, who has not ever looked at a secret lair, turned up his nose, hates modern magic, only plays old school. He has a squirrel weakness, though. I sent this to him. He's a bit of a curmudgeon. Sorry if you hear this, homie. But you're a bit of a curmudgeon. And we love you. But he also loves squirrels. So I sent over the link to the We Hope You Like Squirrels, and he was like, oh. Well, I guess I'm buying a secret lair.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are people who are passionate about the squirrel tribe. Man, that Crows and Beast art is really fun, too. This is really fun. It's a fun one. And you get a really cool sleeve in Arena. I think the squirrel sleeve is great. I'm probably going to try to pick that code up from someone, actually. I really want to put that on my
Deck. I mean, this definitely has, you know, wide casual appeal. I feel like there should be Squirrel's Nest in here. Did I just miss that? Is it not in here?
No, it's not. That's an interesting point. Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a really weird card to not put in this secret lair. It's like the quintessential squirrel card that most people play in their green commander decks if they're going to play any squirrel cards at all.
Didn't that have a interesting reprint?
I want to say that it's in Modern Horizons.
That must just be what I was thinking about. Oh, man, random side note. Modern Horizons, isn't there a card that you've been wanting to talk about from that set?
That card is Force of Negation. Just a little tidbit before we go over our last secret lair here. Keep your eye on this card. I feel like we've been brushing over it for most of the recent podcasts here. But Force of Negation is probably going to be the most important card out of that set, and it's just only going up. MTGO is the big example. You're seeing these for almost 80 ticks right now. I think we've been seeing pretty stable pricing at like the $40 mark, 45, but that's starting to trend upward again. We've seen since the, you know, since the pandemic hit, you know, that's put a damper in it for sure. But yeah, over this year, it's just slowly gone up and up and up, and we're seeing another upward swing here again. And I would not be surprised, you know, barring a reprint, of course, but I would not be surprised to see this card hit $60 to $70 come 2021 in just January alone. I don't think that's a ridiculous statement at all.
I just wanted
to go over it real quick because it's definitely found its home in Modern and Legacy. And it's a very significant card there. And that's sort of driving the price. But just having more copies of Force of Negation in your stock, that's something you want to be picking it up sooner than later.
100%.
I feel like the settling point for the next big jump will probably be around $60, reasonably speaking. So you've got $13... you know, window to play with there. If you can get these for under $40, it's definitely worth picking them up, especially in near mint.
Oh, definitely. And again, I apologize, Crowberry. We've had this on the docket like several times, and apparently right when we're about to hit it every week, I get too excited and talk about something else. But yeah, I'm a big proponent of just getting your Modern Horizons cards in general now, and that's the biggest one, I think.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, now that you know, you've sated me on my Force of Negation whim, we're gonna go over probably the most important secret lair, I think, coming out of this next drop is a box of rocks. You've got Arcane Signet, Chromatic Lantern, Commander Sphere, Dark Steel Ingot, and Gilded Lotus.
Most important.
These are very commonly played Commander rocks. And I think this will probably have the highest demand out of all of them. Correct me if I'm wrong.
But I don't know. I've seen a lot of people. A lot of people, I guess you could say, poo-pooing it on Twitter. Because the value's not there. Anyway, subjective, I guess, too. But I've been seeing tons of tweets about, like, a box of rocks. You could get all of these cards for, like, X amount. That's lower than the $30 non-foil. Which I have not fact-checked. I just, you know, it's the Twitter drama that shows up. Because people are going to complain on Twitter no matter what happens.
Of course.
But I think you're making a good point, though, of, like, these are some of the most played Commander rocks out there.
I would not underestimate the power of foil Commander card and being able to purchase it straight up. There, especially for Arcane Signet, which I think only has one foil printing from Commander Legends. Is that right?
Oh, I think that's right.
Just getting another crack at that and being able to buy it straight up, for, you know, a lot of players, they're going to be wanting to do that.
And I really think the art style here, just described on the Secret Lair website as an atypical pop art style, is cool. Like, I want these Darksteel ingots with the weird little skeleton guy. By I can't read. My eyeballs aren't working. By an artist. Oh, Theodoru. There it is. It's cool. It's like cool, wacky, unique art. And it's going to make your Commander deck like stand out, right?
Yeah, I think this is just going to be appealing for the simple fact that they're all in one place. They're very commonly played, and they're Commander gold. Like, everyone, most people who have casual Commander decks want to be playing this exact suite of mana rocks, maybe save for Darksteel Ingot. But these are pretty high demand mana rocks in the lower range for sure. I think $29.99, yeah, it's a little bit of a high price point for the non-foils, but I think this foil one is priced just right.
Yeah, I think, too, like, down the road, you know, in a couple of years, these are going to be highly sought after. Because they're popular artists, weird art style. Like, I would hang a print of each of these in my house. You know, it's, like, wacky, cool-looking, unique stuff, which is Commander players especially, that's what they're chasing. Arena redemptions here. You do get one of each in Magic Online, though, for your MTGO Commander shenanigans.
Yeah, if you're playing Commander there, especially, good value. But yeah, we haven't seen art like this on Magic cards. I don't think any of these are established Magic artists. If I'm reading that right, I think these are their only cards. I think my favorite here is probably the Darksteel Ingot. I think that one's crazy.
It's fun. The Mab Graves' Gilded Lotus is probably the closest art to anything we've seen in a Magic card before. It feels like it could show up in a set, and it's gorgeous, the Gilded Lotus. But the rest of these, like, yeah, we've never seen anything quite this funky. The Commander Sphere kind of reminds me of the Tattoo Secret Lair a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, cool, we've seen art like this too. Yeah, we've seen the Gilded Lotus especially. That looks reminiscent of Nils Hom's art.
Oh, a little bit, yeah.
Like Amoeboid Changeling. That's one that got brought to mind. Just the style here, very similar. But yeah, these are pretty awesome. They're unique. I think, yeah, people are poo-pooing the price for sure for what cards you're getting. But I don't think you can discount the fact that these are unique art and the only way to get them in foil, or really the only way to get them at all. But, you know, we're probably not going to see these printings ever again unless they do a Secret Lair reprint, right? Which we've seen. Oh, but
yeah. Man, I had kind of dismissed a box of rocks initially, but in our discussion, I think we talked me into wanting it.
Yeah, sleeper hit, now I'm like, for sure.
Yeah.
I think this is going to have the most widespread appeal over time. maybe I'll put that caveat on it. Because these are just so unique, and I feel like a lot of people will connect with it. Wizards doesn't release data on how well these sell, but I'm interested to see like a few folks in our community, or if they're buying these to resell them, how they do on that one in particular.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to watch. If you're listening to this after the fact, and you do end up stocking up on these, I would be really grateful if you hit us up with your data on that down the line. It'd be really interesting. I'm all crunching numbers now. Like, how do I work secret lair investing into?
Yeah. How do I get this in here? but yeah, I think that kind of does it for our secret lair here. That's all the ones that we wanted to talk about there. What do you think about the bundle prices, by the way, before we move on to the last topic?
I was just looking at that. I think they're pretty decent, honestly. I mean, the bundles before haven't been that big of a discount. Like, if you're just getting the no foils, no nonsense, it's like maybe a $20 discount. Mm-hmm. But it's still nice. Like, if it's something that you're picking up to have in stock for your shop or whatever, like, bundles are the way to go.
Yeah, you're looking to get the max allocation for these bundles. It saves you money in bulk, and you're
and it'll save on shipping too.
Yes,
I believe shipping, when I've just gotten like one secret layer at a time, shipping's been kind of annoying. You have to hit a certain level, but the super drop is a pretty nice discount. That's like a $50 discount if you get the super drop. Mm-hmm. Am I mathing that right? 280, 230? Yeah, ish.
But yeah, definitely keep an eye out for these. They are releasing tomorrow. We're going to try to have the cast up pretty quickly after recording here. But yeah, keep your eye out. I think these are going to be wildly popular going into the holiday season. And people are really going to be looking to pick these up. So get in while you can.
Other thing I haven't noticed is how long is the drop going to be up? Is it only for Cyber Monday?
For that, I am not certain. I don't know if they announced that or not.
Not the look that up easiest to navigate website.
I mean, yeah, it's not spelled out for us to just know what's going on there for sure, but
yeah, it's not listed on the site. Anyway, so that'll be also worth note. If this is one of those ones that's up for a week, there'll be a lot more copies out in the world. But if it's one of those 24-hour drops, going to be a lot less of them out there.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Anyway, folks, thank you for listening. QS Insider Cast. We've been your hosts, Joe and Crowberry. Stay safe out there, friends.
Wash your hands, wear a mask. Stay safe.
Amen. Bye-bye. Bye.